We pray, O God, we thank you for him being the evangelist that is, his heart for the lost. And Father, we pray your anointing is released on him right now, Lord. We pray, Father, even if his legs are shaking, that Father, you just keep walking forward, Father God, and release your word through him this morning, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. There we go, brother.
Can any of you guess what I'm going to preach on? Of course, he just, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, evangelism. Because I believe this is the thing I've been called out to do. And it's the thing I invested the most amount of time in. And evangelism is preaching the gospel with the purpose of the end goal being to non-believers converting to Christianity, coming to Jesus, giving their life to the Lord. And Jesus calls us to evangelize. And Jesus is not telling us, you know, oh, you might, you know, if you want to evangelize or if you feel like it, you know, he's telling us to evangelize. It's like a command. And he tells us that in Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And also in Matthew 28, verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So what is evangelism? Evangelism comes from the word evangelion, which is in the ancient Greek, it means good news or gospel. Derived from the EU, which means good, and angelos, which means messenger / message. A synonym for evangelion is announcement or proclamation. And what are we proclaiming when we're going out on the street or just to non-believers? What are we proclaiming? So I'm asking you, what are we proclaiming? Anyone? Jesus. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again 3 days later.
Hallelujah.
So now I'll give you like a walkthrough, like how to prepare when you're evangelizing. Because evangelizing is not an easy job. It's not an easy thing to do if you're not prepared to do it the right way. That's why we have to have knowledge and wisdom of God's word. Meaning that we need to know a good amount of scripture, and most importantly, specifically, the words that Jesus spoke in the New Testament, because eventually we will have encounters with ignorant people that will try and attack our faith and give us traps by asking us difficult, controversial questions, claims, and statements. To some extent, we need to have knowledge about other faiths and ideologies, for example, Islam and atheism. Whenever I evangelize and start debating, the most common group of people I debate with our Muslims. Best advice I can give if anyone's evangelizing and preaching to them and it turns out into a debate, the best thing to do is say, I'm not here to debate, just walk off. Don't try and start a debate, you know what I mean? Because first of all, you're wasting time. If you're going out to evangelize, you're there to save people for the Lord, not to have a bit of a battle with some other people that are just trying to rattle you up. And evangelizing is saving people's lives, even if we can't see it, because seeds are being planted. And it doesn't matter how many people reject the gospel or church leaflets, because even if one person comes to the Lord, that's all that matters. Amen. Jesus left the 99 sheep to rescue one sheep. Amen. Every soul is important to God. Luke 15, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Amen.
And some of this I've done like 2-3 months ago, and I'm going to show you a contrast of now, like yesterday in the 24 hours, of how my mindset changed about evangelism. So what I'm going to read out now is from that like 3 months ago. So aim for large numbers. That was my first tactic. So on Friday the 16th, I evangelized to 84 people in 2.5 to 3 hours. Saturday the 17th, the next day, I evangelized to 208 people in 4 to 5 hours. And I didn't think I would be able to evangelize this many people or even encounter so many in this short amount of time. But everything is possible with God. And approximately 35 people accepted the church leaflets and engaged in conversations about Jesus. The more people we evangelize to, the higher the chances of having people showing up to our church and giving their life to Jesus. And my initial thought or tactic was, people are, you know, just in Blackheath, they're going everywhere to doing the shopping, or they're busy, they're going back home on the bus and whatever. So they're not going to be interested in having like a prolonged conversation about Jesus and the faith. So I'm thinking, okay, if I give a bunch of leaflets, they're probably going to come to the church on a Sunday or whenever they got time. So I'm like, okay, if I can speak to them now and bring them to Christ, then maybe when they come to church, I'm going to have a longer time to speak with them. So I, you know, show the truth and convince them. But God is blessing us every day with opportunities and encounters where we can preach the gospel or just tell people that Jesus loves them. Because even when you tell that someone that Jesus loves them, for example, how Gary over there says that Jesus loves you, people just need that. People, that's another seed planted, even if you're not telling the gospel. Because part of the gospel is Jesus loving us. That's basically the core fundamentals of the gospel. Because if Jesus didn't love us, then we wouldn't have the gospel. Because Jesus loved us, that's how we receive the gospel. And all we have to do is be bold in faith, get out of our comfort zone, and break through our anxiety or feeling nervous. And if we struggle with confidence, then we should go out in pairs. Mark 6, verse 7, he called the 12 and began to send them two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. If we evangelize and get rejected, or people are too ignorant to accept the truth, then what should we do? Jesus said in Mark 6, verse 11, if any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your sandals as a testimony against them. So when Jesus is saying, shake the dust off your sandals, he's symbolically portraying to not bring impurities of the place with them, making the kingdom, they are treating themselves like outsiders to God's covenant. So basically, if let's say you've had a bad day evangelizing, people were just basically persecuting you, having a go at you, just insulting you and all that. When you're coming into church, shake the dust off your sandals. Don't come into church with the same mentality, or like, don't bring the things of the world into church.
Amen.
But what Jesus was teaching his disciples personally, directly, was that it's a way to let go of the rejection and move on to the next town without carrying the emotional or spiritual residue of failure. A lot of times when I evangelize, I got rejected, or a person who was so close to doing the salvation prayer and they didn't, I started to feel like I failed God. But then I had to realize that I did my duty as his servant and the rest is in his hands. And the verse also means that for the people, the people had the chance and wasted it. They could have accepted Christ, but you know, they just rejected that chance. So don't feel responsible or convicted that they didn't turn to Christ, because you did all you could. And it was their choice. God gave us all a free will. And we're not responsible for people rejecting the gospel.
Amen.
And also, if we truly loved our neighbor, we would preach the gospel with passion. If I had the cure to cancer, it would be very selfish of me to not tell others about it, about having the cure to cancer. But I have something more important and precious than the cure to cancer, which is the gift to eternal life.
Amen.
And now, this is like yesterday. This is my new sort of I'm contrasting between back then, 3 months ago, my idea of evangelism, what tactic I should have. And now this is like a more developed, newer version. And to contrast my point of reaching a lot of people, which was done in January, now 2 months later, I have a way better perspective, which is to evangelize to less people, which is you're thinking, why contradict yourself? Why say, oh, more people, now less people? Well, even if logically evangelizing to many people means the chances of salvations would increase, in reality, there's little to no chance of salvations, because I'm not having a long, deep conversation with people about the gospel and Jesus. By evangelizing to less people, I'm relying only on the Holy Spirit to pull me to specific people, not everyone, see? If I hand out leaflets to everyone and start long conversations, then I would be wasting the time God gave me to speak with the right person he intentionally wanted me to speak to. And also waste my leaflets, because the next day I'll either find them on the floor, or Gary would pick them out of the bin and give them back to me. So you have to look out of perspective where, okay, you're thinking, oh, if there's more people, then there's a high percentage that might come into church or acknowledge that, you know, Jesus is God and all that. But then if you go to less people, let's say you, you challenge yourself and you're only going to have two leaflets in your pocket to hand out about Jesus, then you can't rely on yourself, because you might just be silly and be like, okay, first person I see, leaflet, then the second one, leaflet, and then you realize you ran out of all your leaflets, you only had two. But if you rely on the Holy Spirit, he's going to make you visualize the right person. For example, the first time I've ever like really encountered the guidance of the Holy Spirit was when I was walking around Lidl's in Blackheath, and then I was like, oh Lord, I don't have many leaflets. You know, no one took my leaflets. No one. I think I went to 30, 40 people, and I had about 10 of them. No one accepted one. And then I come around the corner and I go, oh Lord, you know what? If no one's gonna come now, I'm just gonna go straight to church, or I'm gonna go back home. And I was a bit low, and I'm like, oh. But here's the thing, God always, he's just so unpredictable, and he always just does the contrary to us, you know what I mean? When you feel like you're lowest and you're so doubtful, he always brings you up. And it's like, ah, it's like one of those gotcha moments. When you're so low, he's like, got you there. And then I come around the corner, and I see just this dark figure, and I didn't know if it was a man or a woman. And I go, oh, Lord, she's the one. And I'm like, she's the one. Why am I saying she's the one? I don't even know if it's... I can't even see. It's just a dark silhouette. And I'm like, okay. That person comes a bit closer. And then I see the hair. I'm like, oh, it is a woman. What? It is a woman. And then I'm like, oh, Lord, pull her towards me. She crosses the road. And then I see her, like, turn towards the opposite way. I'm like, Lord, make her turn around. Guess what? She turns around. I'm like, Lord, have her walk towards me. She walks towards me. It's as if I'm asking and... Abba is, you know, he's answering back. He's like, Daddy, can I get that toy? Here you go. Can I get that toy? Here you go. Prayer after prayer just answered, because that's the Lord. It depends what you pray about. You know, if you pray, oh, Lord, can I get that house or whatever? You know, he's not going to give it to you. But if you're praying something that is to glorify him and his kingdom, he'll give it straight away. If you're asking for him to bring a person so that they give their life to him, then obviously he's going to answer that prayer. In, you know, in an instant, you know what I mean? And then we have to remember it's always quality over quantity. Quality will always be better than quantity, and having one prolonged and fruitful preaching of the gospel, leading that person to the salvation prayer, will always be better than evangelizing or handing out leaflets to 100 people, because the word of God is touching that person's heart personally. You know, I mean, I think once I've actually evangelized just to two people, and they gave their life to the Lord, just two. I didn't go evangelizing to hundreds or tens or whatever, because a lot of the times when I go and, you know, do the 100 or 10 and challenge myself, oh, let's get a big number, not one salvation. But then when I go to one specific person, they give their life to the Lord. So it's not always a performance thing where you have to get as many people. It's more about quality. It's the outcome. What is the outcome? And the highest amount of people that I evangelized to in a day was 777 people. And not one salvation was made. Not one. I was 777. However, in a week, I evangelized to less than 30 people, and 9 people gave their life to the Lord. So, yeah. And, however, less than 30 people gave their life to the Lord. And overall, in 2 months of listening to God's guidance, most importantly, walking in obedience, not going my way, but going his way, 12 people got saved in two months. So again, quality over quantity. And anyone can do this, or even greater than this, if they know how to listen to God's word, which is developed by seeking first his kingdom, being obedient to his commands, prayer and working hard. And then the next thing I'll come on to is having a tactic or plan of persuasion, because at the end of the day, like, what are we trying to do? If we're trying to go and preach the gospel and evangelize, we're trying to change people's minds. It's like a persuasion thing, because they're lost, they're thinking, you know, a different thing. So then we're trying to change the mind to the truth. So we have to know what we will say to the person we are preaching to before we talk to them. Our opening statement or question towards them has to be the most thought out thing, because if what we say isn't appealing or interesting, then they won't engage in the first place. I use a common tactic that I then break down onto different types of people and scenarios I'm in, and I have to adapt to the situations that that's why I also have a plan B. You always need to have a plan B, because it depends on the person. If I have like some massive muscular dude, I'm gonna be a bit, you know, like, oh hello, you know what I mean? If I see like an older lady, I'm not gonna be so, you know, on fire and on, so I have to be more gentle. It just depends on the situation. If it's a rainy day, I'm gonna have to be different. If it's a sunny day, more joyful. And a quick walk through my approach is, I ask them if they're interested in checking out my leaflet, and then if they have any faith or belief. If a second or two goes by and I don't see them reaching out to take the leaflet, then I start straight away to feed them a secondary source of information that is linked to the church. So I'm saying that the church does a kids club, aka Jungle Books, and a youth club. Then I give them more information about the secondary things I link to the church. So basically just trying to make their mind go at full speed, so then they start focusing on what they were doing before the conversation, or they stop and they're just like, oh, I have to answer the question, I have to think, I'm not trying to make myself look stupid in front of this person asking me a bunch of questions. So then you just feeding them, so the conversation goes longer and they forget what they were initially doing, so then they're locked into the conversation. And then eventually you ask them if they're interested in Jesus, if they have any faith in Jesus, so that they will decrease the focus that they had earlier on the thing they were doing before talking with me, and now all their focus and interest is on the conversation we're having. Then once I see that they are engaged, I go back to the main topic, which is the church, and give information about the days and times of the church service and all the above, where the church is. And by the way, all of these steps are done continuously in a flowing rhythm, uninterrupted, so that the person is then trying to keep up with all the information I'm giving them. Because I can't be like saying, oh, do you want to check out this leaflet? Do you have any faith? And then out of nowhere go, oh, by the way, do you have any time on Sunday or whatever? It's just not flowing rhythm. I'm going in from one topic and then to another topic. I'm not consistent and I'm jumping from different places. They're going to lose the first objective thought that they had. And then I'll just give them more directions where the church is, if they know it and stuff like that. And then I try to be also, I'm indirectly bringing them towards the church. I'm not trying to push church, Jesus constantly, because that person might not like Jesus. They might be an atheist or a Muslim or whatever. So then what I'm going to try and do is indirectly do about like saying, oh, you know that pub, the Clocking, oh, you know Don's Cafe, where that is. And like, oh, that's where the church is opposite Don's Cafe and all that. I'm not going to be like, you have to come to church, you have to do this, you're going to go to hell and all that stuff. You have to also check the body language, which is very important. If they look up, look at their eye contact, facial expressions and overall movement, because if they're losing focus and getting bored, I have to increase my enthusiasm so that they gain interest again. And talking in a lazy manner will be an instant turn off for them. And we have to talk to them like we are business owners or salesmen, to get as much profit as we can from the time that we have talking with them, because time is precious. God doesn't, we have the people say we have all the time in the world for stuff, but we don't. Tomorrow's never promised, the next second isn't promised, especially when you're preaching the gospel and evangelizing. Because sometimes I'm walking, I'm thinking, oh, God spotted that person. There's like 50 people, but that one person. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take my time. And then the next thing I know, they crossed the road, they stepped in a bus, and I lost my chance. I'm like, don't take that time you have for granted, God's blessed you, and you have to take the opportunity. Same with Jungle Books. Pastor tried all his best with that lady, Natalie, and then look, we got Jungle Books. We prayed. We weren't lazy. We weren't laying back and saying, oh, God would do it. No, we had to step in and press in. And after they realized the whereabouts of the church, and I end the conversation telling them, have a nice day and take care, as the cherry on top, so that the conversation ends well. Saying, all right, mate, bye-bye, or yeah, have a nice one. That's going to turn off the whole thing. Every single thing you built up, which went so fluently and perfectly, it's all going to be ruined by the end. Everything has to go smoothly. Because they have to realize, oh, that was a very fruitful, nice conversation that they're going to remember throughout the day. And, most people, even if I talk about Jesus and they give their life, they don't come to church, even after 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Like, only one person that gave their life, which was that girl, Keely, came. And she's also getting baptized as well by the grace of God. But guess what? Those other 11 people, none of them showed up to church. Not one. And there's even some that didn't give their life, but said, oh yeah, I'll come to church. Do they come to church? No, they don't. You have to make such a powerful conversation with them that it sticks to their hearts. And every step has to be followed in the right order and implemented. You can't skip some steps and then just go from the beginning and then skip all the way to the end. You know what I mean? You have to be consistent. And to end it off, I would say that evangelism is one of the most important things to do, if not the most important thing. Because we need to bring as many people to Jesus as we can, and as many as we get the chance. If there's no church members in the church, and who is there to be led? You know, if you have an empty church and there's only the pastor, who's the pastor? Is the pastor going to preach to empty air? You know what I mean? No, the pastor's there to preach to people, but if there's no people in the church, who is he going to preach to? No one. So we need people, we need sheep, we need the lamb, we need the very lost lambs, and we need to bring them in. You know, it's not Jesus told us, he commanded us to go out and preach the gospel. Jesus is not going to be the one or the Holy Spirit flowing around the world preaching the gospel himself. No, he said that to us because we're his servants. He's not his own servant. That doesn't make sense. We are his servants. And because we need to bring as many people to Jesus as we get a chance. And Christianity has risen and spread around the world because of evangelism, people preaching the gospel. The apostles were the first ever evangelists. Without evangelism, Christianity wouldn't be the largest religion in our first world societies that have law and order. You know, we got freedom. We're not going to be bombed. There's not going to be a suicide bomber coming in here, or, you know, the church ain't going to burn down because we're in England. You know, we got a free society. Okay, you know, with politics and now it's going down, it's gone downhill, you know, freedom of speech and all that. But we're not being persecuted. We can praise the Lord and sing hymns and sing prayers and all that stuff. Freely, we are free. We got freedom here. If you go to Nigeria or Syria or Lebanon, they'll just cut your head off, you know. But we got that freedom here. And that's all because of Christianity. You know, the law is built off Christian values. It's all because of Jesus. And he wouldn't have reached here without evangelism. You know, Saint Peter, where did he go to Ireland, right? Saint Peter went there. He was the first, he was part of the first evangelists, the apostles. And, you know, and that's how it all started, through evangelism. If evangelism didn't exist, the gospel would never reach the ends of the earth. No, not one country, all of these Christian countries around the world, they wouldn't be Christian. And every person that is in this church is here because someone evangelized to them, or their parents, or one of their ancestors, etc., were evangelized to. I was evangelized to by Gary. Bart was evangelized by Gary. You know, people around here might have just came with their parents, but their parents were evangelized to, or their ancestors, and on and on and on. It's because of evangelism. Evangelism is preaching the gospel. The gospel won't reach anyone's heart if, you know, they don't receive it from someone else. You don't get the gospel out of thin air. Someone's giving it to you. But I'm not finished yet. Ask yourselves, do I keep the good news to myself, or do I do my best to bring people to Jesus? Because if you keep Jesus to yourself, that is selfish. It really is selfish. If you got family members that don't have faith in Jesus, and you're just standing there and just thinking, oh yeah, one day I'll just give them Jesus. Or when they're on the deathbed, you know, I'm going to say, can you do accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Why then? Why not now, when you got the chance, when you got the possibility? Every second that you have with a non-believer, with a non-Christian, that's God giving you an opportunity, not just for them to get the gospel, but for you to grow, and just in general to get closer to Jesus. Because Jesus preached to everyone the good news. He preached about himself the good news. And Jesus tells us to be Christ-like, so how are we going to be Christ-like? By preaching the good news. So now I challenge you, go out and preach the gospel to the first non-believer that you see. When you get out of this church, the first non-believer, the first non-Christian, you know, just go and preach the gospel. Even if they look threatening, scary, or whatever, or down, or just go and preach the gospel to them. Or just say, Jesus loves you. Or what do you think about Jesus?